This is the sermon podcast of Jim Parsons, the senior pastor at Milford Hills United Methodist Church. For more information about our congregation, visit us at milfordhillsumc.org. Thank you for listening, and peace be with you.
Now, if you would, remain standing for the word of God today. We're back in the 13th chapter of Matthew. I'll be reading verses 31 through 33, and then 44 through 52. And so hear now the word of God. He told another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and planted in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it's grown, it's the largest of all vegetable plants. It becomes a tree so that the birds in the sky come and nest in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, which a woman took and hid in a bushel of wheat flour until the yeast had worked its way through all the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that someone hid in the field, which someone else found and covered up. Full of joy, the finder sold everything and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he found one very precious pearl, he went out and sold all that he owned and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that people threw into the lake and gathered all kinds of fish. When it was full, they pulled it to shore, where they sat down and put good fish together in containers, but the bad fish they threw away. That's the way it'll be at the end of the present age. The angels will go out and separate the evil people from the righteous people, and will throw the evil ones into the burning furnace. People there will be weeping and grinding their teeth. Have you understood all of these? Jesus asked. They said to him, yes. And then he said to them, therefore, every legal expert who has been trained as a disciple for the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings old and new things out of their treasure chests. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be gracious and glorious in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I always struggle with what to preach in this lectionary text, because there's six parables in this section of Scripture. Six times Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like. Six times, Jesus gives us a peephole view into what the kingdom of heaven will be like and what we are to expect. And as I stared at these parables and read them and reread them, I was looking for inspirations of what to preach. Each truly is basically a sermon within itself. And it got me wondering why the people who created the Revised Common Lectionary decided, you know what, we'll just lop all six of these together in one sermon. In this section of the parables in the Gospel of Matthew, why are all these together on this one Sunday? Why not just give us one or two? Spread them out a little bit. But then my mind went to, you know, beyond why the lectionary people put these passages together, and I started to wonder why Jesus himself said these things one after another. Or at least, does Matthew's author splat all these parables together in one chapter? And we've been in the 13th chapter for 3 weeks now. It's almost like Matthew's author was at a lecture, and these are just all simply the notes that he was taking. Because if we read the beginning, Jesus is talking to this crowd of people, and so many people had gathered around. The crowd was so big on the beach that he had to get into a boat so that he could talk to them. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the parable of the soils, which starts off the 13th chapter of Matthew. And with all these parables, he is telling the people there on the beach, the disciples included, all about the kingdom of heaven. The truth is if Jesus walked into our midst right now and opened up the rest of the service to a kind of a Q&A, I would guarantee that some of our questions would be focused on the kingdom of heaven. I guarantee you, eventually these questions about the kingdom of heaven would come up, because we want to know, what is it like? We really want to know. We want to know what eternity is going to be like, because we're anxious and we're curious about it. And it's a natural human tendency to be like that. I am sure the people on the beach were the same way, and so Jesus is taking some time to explain it all to them. Jesus is there standing on a boat with a huge crowd looking at him, and he's going to tell them all about the kingdom of heaven. He's going to give them examples of what the kingdom of heaven is like, because that's what the people really want to know. That's what we really want to know. And the best way he can do this, the best way he can come up with how to explain it is similar to the way that we explain things, using stories, using similes. For those of you who haven't been in English class for a while, a simile is a figure of speech that directly compares two different things by employing words like, as, and then. Jesus is comparing the kingdom of heaven to our world. He's telling us the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, yeast, a treasure in a field, a rare pearl, good fish, and a person's treasures. The kingdom of heaven is too big of a concept to sum up in just simply one story, because our human brains cannot grasp it all. Therefore, Jesus gives us these peephole views of what it's going to be through these parables. So the image that's on the screen, as you can tell, hopefully, is from the video doorbell at the office door of the church. What can you see? You can see a parking lot with some cars parked there. You can tell the Hundleys are at church, and Blake and I are in the office. You can see where the building was, when the building was built, and those who served on the team that helped build it. You can see what time of year it is. Trees are green, the sun is out. But you can't see the sanctuary. You can't see the neighbor's houses through the trees. You can't see the neighborhood or describe what the rest of Salisbury looks like through this view. You can only tell a few things about the world around this door. You don't see people, the relationships of these people, how worship happens within the church, or how our awesome new playground that's just around the corner from this screen that people in our community are constantly using these days. You can't see the beauty of the trees, of what they look like in the fall, or know that you can see our neighbors from across the street once the leaves are gone for the winter. You cannot tell how good the choir sounds when you add their voice and join the choir as they start back up this week. You can't tell how good our barbecue is in January, and you can't see how wonderful our pumpkins are in October. You have a very limited view of our congregation through this camera lens. Is it our church? Yes, but it's not all of it. This is the type of view that we get about the kingdom of heaven. We cannot understand or know every aspect of the kingdom of heaven, but Jesus does give us some clues, some views like this through the parables that he teaches us. These six parables stand as a good example of that and give us some perspective in which to learn more about God's kingdom. And as disciples, as we learn what we can in order to understand the one that we are following, we need to dive into these parables. But before we get there, let's pause and realize one thing. Jesus has a unique view of the kingdom of heaven. I mean, he is God. So he knows what he's talking about. His message was also unique. After his baptism, he went into the wilderness for 40 days. And the first thing he said after his return is, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The kingdom of heaven is not far away. It is not off in the distance. It is near, and it is in our midst. As disciples, we need to realize it is something that we can see and that we can be a part of here and now. There is also more in life to come, but we forget that is also in the here and now. We live in the midst of the now and the not yet. And we have to keep this in mind as Jesus tells us these parables in this 13th chapter of Matthew. And so let's look at all six of these short parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Mustard bushes are like kudzu of our days. They were trash plants, which people hated to get mixed up in their real seeds that they were planting. The seeds were so small, though, that they couldn't realize they were planting within their crops until they started to grow. Then all of a sudden they would see this bush that turned into a tree out in their fields. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. From something so small that it can grow into a giant bush or tree to be home for birds, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It can start off small in our hearts, but then it can grow into something large and substantial. It can be something that we would normally throw away and dread, like listening to a sermon every week, but or trying to figure out the sermon title every week and what it has to do with it. But eventually, something can grow out of it. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. What is interesting is the word yeast is used in our modern English translations. If you go back to the King Jimmy version or King James version of the Bible, they translate it as leaven, which is actually closer to the Greek word that Matthew's author is using in this text. This is probably because we are more familiar with yeast. We know it comes in those little packets or a jar from the grocery store, and when we add it to flour and water, poof, it starts to rise and make bread. But in biblical times, they didn't have Food Lion, so they had to do something different. If they wanted to make fluffy bread, they had to create leaven. To do that, they had to let a piece of bread spoil. And there was a crucial time they had in that spoiling process. If it didn't spoil long enough, it wouldn't make the bread rise. But if it spoiled too long, it would turn into like poison and make people sick. Any other time Jesus talks about leaven, he uses it as a negative term. He tells people to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. But here, Jesus takes a negative and makes it a positive. It only takes a little leaven or yeast to make the dough rise. It only takes a small spark of the Holy Spirit to push a transformation into someone's heart. That is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It only takes a little yeast, a little mustard seed, to make a huge transformation. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field or a merchant looking for fine pearls. In both of these short parables, someone finds something of great value, and then they joyfully sell everything they have to purchase it. In biblical times, people often found treasures in field because it could be left over after a war, or this was kind of like the biblical banking system. People would hide money not under their mattress, but actually out in their fields. And so once it was common practice that whatever treasure you found in your field was yours. And that's why the man sells everything he has to purchase that field which he knew had treasure in it. Now, both of these parables sound like horrible business practices. Would you sell everything you had to purchase a piece of property that had treasure on it? To put everything you had to work into one investment like a pearl? No, we're told to diversify our portfolios, right? I mean, if you were a merchant, or let's use a little bit more modern language. If you were a used car salesman and you finally found a rare 1971 Plymouth Barracuda 426 Hemi convertible, which is one of the rarest muscle cars that ever existed, would you sell everything to get it? Would you sell it knowing that it sold for multiple of millions of dollars, and there was one recently on auction that was estimated to get $6.5 million? The kingdom of heaven is worth a treasure so profound, so great, that we are willing to give up everything to get it. The kingdom of heaven is like a net. Junk fish are always going to be caught. A long while ago, I took a guy's fishing trip back up to Lake Erie with my brother-in-law, my dad, and my grandfather. It's a place where my grandfather and my dad, they grew up fishing all the time, and where I grew up fishing when I was younger. And it was a great trip. The first day out, our boat broke down just outside the harbor, and I had to paddle the whole thing back. A kayak is much easier to paddle than a motorboat, let me tell you. So we ended up having to take a charter out, and we were fishing for perch. And our guide did a great job putting us on fish. But we kept pulling in white perch. Now, we were fishing for yellow perch because they taste a heck of a lot better. But white perch are an invasive species in Lake Erie. And so to help rid Lake Erie of them, our guide would take them off the hooks, break their neck, and throw them to the seagulls that were floating around our boats. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a net full of good fish and bad fish. And in the end, the angels would come and they will separate. This is very similar to last week's sermon on the wheat and the weeds. The kingdom of heaven is like an owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. God wants to share his goodness with everyone. He wants us to experience his glory and his awesomeness. He wants to share everything with us if we are ready and willing to open our eyes to see it. It's like being invited to a dinner party, and the host brings out the freshest vegetables just plucked from the garden. They're rich in flavor and goodness. And then she dusts off a bottle of wine that she's been holding on for decades. And she's been waiting for just the right night to share it with someone. And she chose this moment to do just that. God wants to bring out everything for us if we have the eyes to see it. All of these parables have something in common. They're examples of everyday life. They are everyday ways that we can tap into God and the ways God can tap into us. Jesus doesn't explain the kingdom of God like a walkthrough on HGTV. Instead, he uses examples of everyday, the common, the normal, the stuff right around us and within our grasp. Because the kingdom of God is near. It's around us. It's active. It's here in our midst right now. As we walk on the path of the disciple, we need to stop spending so much time looking for God in the extraordinary, because we forget that we can find God working most in the ordinary. So may our eyes be opened in order to see the kingdom of heaven around us in the mustard seed, in the treasures, in the yeast, in the pearls, and the good fish. All who have eyes, let them see. All who have ears, let them hear. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you're here in our midst. You're pointing us to your kingdom and showing us all the ways that our world reflects the kingdom of heaven here and now. Give us eyes to see your Holy Spirit around us. Give us ears to hear your word and be transformed into your likeness. Give us the willingness to go out and to be the people you call us to be. Transform us as a church and as individuals to reflect your kingdom here and now, always and forevermore. Amen.